This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. Oh, there she is. You guys look, you guys probably are too young, but you look marvelous. Some of you knew exactly what I was talking about. You look marvelous. I had some friends of mine. Their names are actually Drew, that's his name, Andrew, and Carrie, that's her name. So that's, again, some of you may not recognize Drew Carey show, but they were Drew and Carrie before the Drew and Carrie show. And she had a sonogram, and the sonogram, this is in, you know, this is quite a bit, 20 years ago, and the sonogram said she was going to have a baby girl. So they were in Houston, they painted their rooms, they had baby showers, and painted the room pink, the whole bit, and when the baby was born, the doctor said, congratulations, you have a beautiful, healthy baby boy. And she was like, she said she got up from the table, was like, no way. So she was in shock because, you know, for 4 or 5 months, she was talking to the baby girl and she was in awe. She was in shock mode. She told us we were shocked. I don't know if you've ever been shocked like that with some news. But today we're going to talk a little bit about shocking news. But let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. You've been so good to us. Lord, I'm just overwhelmed like a spoiled kid on Christmas with all the good gifts that you've bestowed upon me and us, starting off with salvation. Thank you, Father. We love you and we're forever grateful, forever live for you fully. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 16, this is right after the crucifixion. Well, not right after, but days later now. And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, mother of James, excuse me, and Salome brought spices so they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? You know, don't forget, you know, they sealed the tomb because the last thing needed was some ragtag team to come up with, concoct a story and, you know, sneak and roll the stone away and take Jesus' body. The Romans didn't want that. The Roman government, the religious people didn't want that. So, man, they're going to seal that thing and make sure nothing happens to it. So who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were shocked or alarmed. Verse 6, don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. Isn't that awesome? See the place where they laid him. In verse 7, but go tell his disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid, understandably. And when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven 7 demons. She went and told those who had been with him who were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He had said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Amen. And the writer of Mark gives us a snapshot of the resurrection in a few verses. And I think one of the things that Mark was trying to get us to understand regarding the resurrection of Jesus Christ was that he was trying to tell us in these verses that the resurrection of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, was quite shocking, not only to those who were there in person, but shocking as the news went out and shocked the whole world. And I believe it reverberates even today. As I told you a story of my friend being shocked, I imagine many of you have been shocked. There's been some good shocks when we heard that our kids were going to be parents and we were going to be grandparents. That's an awesome shock. We've been shocked. I've been shocked by the news of the passing of my father 4 years ago. It was hard to believe. And we've been shocked with, national calamity, shocked with good news that, some of you have gotten the job that you were praying for. Some of you have been healed. So believe that the apostle Mark was trying to get us to understand that this is normal reaction to this incredible news. Because Jesus is about to do something different and start a new church, start a church of a group of people who are following him and start this new journey with him. So the resurrection of Jesus surprised and shocked the world, and it shocks people today. Mark writes that after the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome visited the tomb of Jesus to anoint Jesus' body with spices so the flesh would not smell because others would be buried in the same temple. I don't need to go into details, but we don't like to talk about death in our culture. In the West, we try not to talk about it. Even our Good Friday service on Friday, we are talking about the crucifixion, and that really kind of goes against our culture. We want to hear about the finish line, the celebration, but we don't really want to hear about what Jesus had gone through. So that's one of the reasons we do it, to help us understand, help us to get the fuller, bigger picture. But these disciples, these followers of Jesus were shocked. They were shocked when they first saw that the stone was rolled away. You know, when I was young, I used to, and forgive me, it sounds terrible, but I used to look down at people in the scripture like, why were they shocked? Jesus told them he was going to, after 3 days, rise from the dead. How come they didn't believe him? As I've gotten older, I realized, you know what? I need to read myself into the story, and I can see how hard it would be to believe what Mary Magdalene said to the people. But when they looked inside the tomb, they were shocked to discover a young man dressed in white robes sitting in the empty tomb. And the young man said to the women, "Do not be astonished," or in other words, don't be shocked, "because Jesus has risen. He's not here any longer." And it tells them to go ahead. He's going ahead of you in Galilee, and you will see him just as he told you. Mark tells us that the women were shocked. Utterly shocked, fled from the tomb and said nothing. And that's what the resurrection did to the disciples first. It caught them by surprise. It shocked them. I remember my first encounter with Jesus. I was a rebellious young man. If you've been part of our church, I don't tell the details because I never want to glory the details. But I was not a good guy. So much so that I went to my 40th high school reunion a year or so ago. And this one lady wanted to talk to me. She said, "I really need to talk to you." I'm like, okay. And so we moseyed up to a spot in the restaurant. And I don't mean to laugh, okay? I promise. I have this this tick that sometimes when things are serious, I laugh. So I'm not making light of it. It's just a tick of mine. So please bear with me. But she told me, and that she'd been holding this for 40 years, how terrible I treated her. And I made fun of her. And I know you're going to hate me for this. I made fun of her weight. Now, I was 18, 17 years old, so I don't remember. And so, but it rang true because that's the kind of person I was. I was not a very nice guy. I was in a lot of ways, unredeemable. I was broken goods. I was damaged goods. If I was on the adoption list, and if they were to read my resume, I would not be adopted. I was too much of a risk. Looking back, I realized I was this kind of person because I lacked my identity in Christ. I tried to compensate by being funny at other people's expense. Anyway, 40 years later, she talks to me, and I apologize. We cried and we hugged, and I said, I'm deeply sorry. But the day that I came to know Christ, it was shocking to me that he would love me. He would love this type of person. I wasn't a good kid. I was dangerous. And yet he took a risk. And I like to use the pictures that he dove into this dumpster filled with trash and the water, you know, built up from the rain, and it was just, you don't want to be in that kind of water. And I was swimming in that, in the, I would call a cesspool of selfishness. And Jesus shocked me by diving into this trash bin and rescuing me. I was rescued. I don't know if you've ever been rescued when you were drowning, but it's shocking in a good way. The disciples were shocked. They're caught by surprise in a physical sense. They literally saw Jesus die. They literally saw him die. They saw that the Romans and their brutal killing machine, and what they did, people do not come back to life after they have been crucified. They saw him get humiliated, beaten, and then killed. And even though they were told about the resurrection, their minds couldn't wrap themselves around the truth. Not only did they, you know, we read the story, but they were actually in the story. They were there. So they knew without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was killed and he died. And he was buried in a tomb. And they were shocked because they know and they knew he was dead. And now they're hearing that Jesus is alive. He's alive. And he's alive. He's no longer in the tomb. He's no longer in the tomb. What else were they shocked? Well, the resurrection of Jesus surprised and shocked the first century worldview, which is very similar to our worldview. The first century worldview, they did recognize that there was life after death, but it was different. But nobody actually comes back to life. Once you were dead, this is how the Greek thinkers thought, you go down into the underworld, a place of the shadows, and they would remember, if I'm not mistaken, they would remember what life was like. But that was it. Not much more. It's kind of like if you're old like me, you barely remember what grade school is like. You know, it's like, I remember, and I definitely didn't remember my high school days. Thank Jesus. For Plato, the soul and the metaphysical world were much more real than the physical world. Greek thinkers thought the body was like a prison for the soul, and death was a way to escape the prison. But death, physical death, was the end, and there was no turning back. So this shocked first century people. They could not wrap their heads around the fact that Jesus had come back to life. Jewish world believed that after death came from an Old Testament, Daniel chapter 12, the bodies go into a waiting period until God awakens them, but our souls continue to live on. And today it shocks us because in today's world, we don't believe that people come back to life. Once they're dead, they're dead. In year 2024, it's hard to explain to a neighbor that this man named Jesus was alive, he was crucified, he died, and then he came back to life. I don't know if you ever tried to explain that to someone that hasn't had a moment with Jesus. It's hard for them to wrap their heads around this truth. Because people today believe that when you die, that's it. In our world, in our culture, you just kind of evaporate. You go into the ground and that's it. But we know that Jesus rose from the dead. We not only know that, we also know that he's gone into the underworld. We kind of mentioned that. He conquers death and he paves the way for everlasting life. One of my favorite authors back in the day was Lee Strobel. He wrote a book called A Case for Christ. I would just suggest you read it if you're struggling with the resurrection. Just take a look at it. Case for Christ, Lee Strobel. The resurrection of Jesus brought new hope. Like for me, it brought new hope for me. I was this reprobate that wasn't adoptable, shouldn't have been adopted, and drowning in my selfishness purposefully, but it brought new hope. And not only did the resurrection of Jesus Christ bring new hope to me, but it brings new hope to the world. This hope is not limited to what happens to us after we die. It's not like just, you know, something awesome happens after I die. God forgives our sins. Just think of that. He forgives our sins. You know how hard it is to understand for a person like me, maybe like you, that he just forgives sins? He forgives sins. And then he ushers the kingdom of God in our world, into our world. When people accept Christ and they say, yes, Lord, I bow my knee to you. Not only do I want you to, as Savior and Lord, you're going to be my King. This kingdom of God comes into our world, into my world, and it changes us. I have seen people like myself who have been addicted to selfish life. We call it a sinful life, but then have been set free by the power of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, supernaturally set free through faith in Christ. I am in no way a perfect example of what perfect freedom looks like, but my story is no different than yours. I was lost, and then I was found. I was blind, but now I see. And so that's just incredible that because of what Jesus did, I'm able to have a new life. I believe my friend came and talked to me because she recognized that Jesus lives in me. She's not a follower of Christ, but I was not going to respond to her like my old life. I was going to respond to her because I've been bought and redeemed and adopted into the family of God. Excuse me. Has anyone else been set free? Amen. Yes. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ brought new hope to the world, and it's available for you and for me right now. You don't have to work your way to this freedom. You know, you don't have to claw your way to Jesus. He's already clawed his way down to us. Finally, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ brought new hope for you and for many in this room. Once the disciples discovered that it was truly Jesus who had come back to life, they had an fantastic encounter with Jesus and started a new life. They had new purpose and calling. And a few weeks later, they're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have an encounter with the living God. They had a new purpose, new calling. Their things became clear. In fact, they gave their lives because of what Jesus had done in their life. Many of these disciples were later on tortured and killed themselves, not for a belief that maybe Jesus rose from the dead. Now, it wasn't just for a figment of their imagination. It wasn't because they thought it was a good idea to die for. They knew and they saw, you have to read the rest of the Bible and recognize that they saw Jesus. They saw him die and they saw him come back and he was rose from the dead. And they now, their lives have been changed so much so they began to spread this awesome news. And some of them, it cost them their life. They wanted the rest of the world to know that there's this new hope, new start, and new life in Jesus. And it wasn't limited to them. Thank you, Father. We get to experience it in our world, like I've been able to experience in my world. He wants to give you a new start. If you've been part of our church long enough, you know, all you have to do is go back to Sarasota, Florida, and go talk to my old friends, and they could tell you that what kind of person I was. But the Lord gave me a new start, a new life, and he's given you a new start and a new life. If I were to talk to you privately and ask you, what did Jesus save you from? I'm sure if you've had an encounter with Jesus, you could tell us. What did he save you from? He saved me from my incredible deep insecurities and selfishness. I was lost and I was going down the wrong road to eternal separation. That's what the resurrection of Jesus did. He gave us a new start, a new hope, a new family, new purpose. So let's be honest in this room. How's it going? How's it going in your life? You know, I love to read C.S. Lewis. Sometimes he's hard to read, but I like to read him. And he talks about this. Creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for these desires exist. You don't have these desires unless there's something that exists to fulfill that desire. A baby feels hunger because there's such thing as food. This is his words. A dolphin wants to swim because there's such thing as water. Humans feel sexual desire because there's a thing that's called sex. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, in other words, the desire is there, that something's beyond the temporal, the most probable explanation is that the answer comes from another world. It comes from his book, Mere Christianity, chapter 3. And Jesus is trying to get our attention this morning. For some of you, you have no problem with Jesus dying and being raised from the dead. That's not the issue. The challenge this morning is letting Jesus be the king of your life. Salvation and kingship go hand in hand. I didn't realize that early on, but they go hand in hand. They are the sides of the same coin. And Easter's a great way to start saying to Jesus, I need a new start. I want salvation. I need forgiveness and salvation, but I also want you to be king of my life. And I'm telling you, if you'll do that, if you respond to what the Spirit is doing right now in your life, you'll find Jesus. And he'll shock your world in a good way. Are you ready to start a new life? Only available through Jesus Christ. I can't think of a better time than right now. In a moment, we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to consider to listening to what the Spirit is already telling you in your heart, ping-ponging in your brain. Is this thing that the pastor's talking about true? You know, I can't think of a perfect analogy, but one time somebody bought me a membership for the gym. It's obvious I'm part of a gym. I know that. There's a friend of mine at National Coffee named A-Rod, and he works out a lot, and I just decided to make fun of him a little bit. It's like, hey, why did you stop working out? He thought it was funny. I thought it was funny. So he's had a baby. That's why he stopped working out. Anyway, so somebody gave me a membership to a gym, and that was free to me. However, he also signed me up for a class, and I didn't recognize how tough that class would be. You know, sit-ups, push-ups, you know, lifting weights, the whole bit. And I thought of that. It's not a perfect example, but isn't that like salvation? In other words, the salvation is free, but there is a cost of denying yourself. There's a cost of breaking down those muscles that we're not accustomed to using, which is denying ourselves. But I cannot think of a better time than right now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, to follow him today. He loves you so much. He has a plan and purpose for you. And how's it going for you? You're on the wrong road like I was. Receiving Christ is free. But living your life for him is going to cost you your will. And that's not easy. So I don't want to sell you a wrong story. Following Jesus is not easy because it goes contrary to what has come our natural desire. Jesus died so that we could live. Jesus died so that we could live. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I'm going to ask, is Joanne here? Yeah. About a year and a half ago, I built a new deck in my backyard, wooden deck. And I don't know if you've ever done that, but when you buy lumber, you got to look for it if it's straight. And twisted lumber is not so good. And if we're going to use lumber as an example, I was pretty twisted. And so were you. The Bible says that all of us have fallen short. We've all sinned. We're all twisted. And Jesus wants to take our twisted life, our bent life, and make it straight in a way that it was designed to be. Not only does Jesus give us everlasting life, he brings us great life now, not just in the future. If you want new life this morning, a full life, a purposeful life, you just have to ask Jesus to come into your life and bend your knee, not your actual knee, but your will, and let him rule and reign in your life. I'd like for us, all of us, to pray. Close your eyes, bow your heads for a moment. And if you don't mind, repeat after me, and we're all going to say it, because it's always good for us to repeat what we are living out for right now. So repeat after me. Lord Jesus, Son of God, I receive your mercy and grace for the forgiveness of my sin. I give you my life. I've tried living my life my way, and it's a dead end. I have done things against you. Lord, I kneel and humble myself and acknowledge I need saving. Lord, come into my life. be the Lord and King. Teach me to walk with you in new hope and start in life for the sake of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, eyes closed. If you've never said that prayer, this is the first time you've ever said it. You know, all I'm going to ask you to do is mean it. You can come see me after the service or one of our elders. You probably don't know who the elders might be, but anybody in our band that you saw up on stage, you can come talk to them. Let them know that Jesus has come into your life and that you're part of the family of God. Every head bowed, eye closed. If that's you, you've said for the first time, just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Amen. Anybody? Amen. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you're doing in our church this morning. Expanding your kingdom, not our church, but your kingdom, but we're part of your family. Lord, help us to always remember what you did on that cross. Lord, it was shocking, but in a great way. Lord, help us this morning. Thank you for a resurrection Sunday. We serve a risen Savior, a risen King, an actual physical resurrected Savior. Not just a good idea. Your good ideas was not resurrected. The person was resurrected. And with that, great life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.